When we're born, we enter this world as perfect beings in our original state of perfect connectedness. Regardless of how many toes we have or blemishes, regardless of all the externals, we were born perfect. Perfect as in connected to the world, as in being naturally part of this world, our original state. This understanding of original blessing and universal salvation was a sea change in Western religion and part of the philosophic transition contribution to our religious tradition that was made by the Universalists. Little bit of history, not too much. Our tradition today in North America is the joining of Unitarian, right? We're Beacon Unitarian, and Universalist faiths. They were officially joined in 1961, but have been intertwined because of them both being liberal religions with a lot of similarities for a much longer. Without going into too much detail, here in Canada, you know that we're called the Canadian Unitarian Council. Well, back, and it was formed in 1961 as well. And at that time, it was the Unitarians that were really organized in Canada. But it didn't mean that there weren't Universalist churches. There were a few, and some still exist today. Halifax is one, and Olinda is another. But they were less organized than the Unitarians. It's not that we have discarded, though, that particular theology. Regardless, the theology of Universalism is important. Universalism emerged as a reaction to the Orthodox Calvinist religious tradition, 17th century Europe and 18th century America, which proclaimed a doctrine of eternal damnation. Kind of yucky in this day and age. Even then, Calvinist doctrine stated that everyone was born a sinner and would be eternally damned. Now, this made no sense to the evidence-based Universalists. They went back to the Bible, they interpreted it very differently. They actually went in the opposite direction and proclaimed, based on what was said in the Bible, that all were born into God's perfect love and that every soul was blessed with eternal and universal love. Socially, Universalism, by its nature, embraced all people, all classes, all races. And theologically, it's also become a bridge to other liberal traditions, both in Hinduism, Judaism, and Islam. So this is our roots. This is how we got to where we are today. Though many Unitarians and Universalists wouldn't necessarily call themselves Christian, we've moved beyond that, even to a new interpretation, a new understanding of Universalism. Thomas Starr King, a Universalist who has a theological college named after him in California, he's attributed with saying that Universalists believe that God is too good to damn people, and the Unitarians believe that people are too good to be damned by God. I like that. It kind of sums it up. But where does that leave us today? Well, it means that our tradition rejected the concept and idea of sin and eternal damnation a long time ago. And with that, it kind of chucked out the notion of confessing our sins. And I think, in my opinion today, that we threw the baby out with the bathwater on that one. And I say this because I think we Unitarians and Unitarian Universalists are a driven lot and sometimes get caught up in thinking that we've got it all together. In fact, sometimes we think we have all the answers and everyone else will get to where we are eventually. Yeah, it's kind of like a superiority kind of thing. Yeah. And I'm here to tell you that this is a wonderful religion. It really is. And we are good people. And if only we were in charge of everything, the world would just be so much better. But it doesn't mean that we're perfect. Sorry. Okay, I'll take you out of this. Well, hang on to the shock. I'll show you how we can get out of this. So we love our principles, our seven principles, and we use them to guide our lives. But it doesn't mean that we get it right all the time. Okay, good principles, good people, living as aware and as committed as we know how. We are also fallible human beings. We are going to make mistakes, and we're going to fall out with each other. We are not always going to be able to live up to those principles. We are going to fail. We're going to fail ourselves. We are going to fail our friends, our family, our community at some time. We are going to hurt each other or disappoint ourselves. And I suggest that without a process of confession, we may get stuck in that place of being out of alignment or disconnected from ourselves and our community. One definition of sin is being disconnected from God or being in a state of misalignment with the whole. Now, if you're getting the twitchies because I'm using the word sin, take a breath. Stop up your ears. Don't get stuck there. Rather, go directly to your own lived experience. And perhaps you'll notice what I'm talking about by looking at your own thoughts, your own experiences. Perhaps you see that you have thoughts and experiences that both bring you closer to being connected, to be in right relationship or wholeness, and other thoughts and experiences that disconnect you and take you away from being in alignment or connectedness with the whole. So let's think a little bit about connectedness. A topic, you know, that we've thought about and talked about a lot over the last couple of years, because this community chose connectedness, connection, as part of our mission. We said this is who we are. We are committed. Our reason for being is to connect. So we thought it was pretty important. So I invite you to meditate for a moment. And I mean by sitting with your own memories, your own life experience of a moment when you felt connected to another person or to the environment. When did you last feel that sense of connection, connectedness? Perhaps you remember feeling in this moment of connectedness a deep calm, sense of peace, a sense of rightness in that moment, sense of acceptance of everything, an open-heartedness. We are born to be in connection with our world. We are built to need connection for our survival and for our thriving. The latest findings in biology and the neurosciences have found that our relationships shape our biology, and our biology shapes our experiences. We are built for connection. Brené Brown, research professor and author, describes connection with other people as the energy that exists between people when they feel seen, heard, and valued. When they can give and receive without judgment. When they derive sustenance and strength from the relationship. I think back to the children's story I read earlier, and that little boy was so disconnected. He had the life literally drained out of him. He was simply black and white in the drawing, no color. He felt judged. He was not seen, he was not heard, he was not valued. That was the definition of our connection with other people. I also would say that we experience this connection with animals, with nature, and with the spiritual world, and what I call the great mystery. I'm not the only one, I don't think, in this crowd who has found deep peace or a sense of oneness in nature. I know there's some canoers in the group who you must have felt the connection out in nature, or hiking up into the wilderness, or simply walking in the local park. So if connection is so vitally important to us, then disconnection is dangerous. It's dangerous to our well-being, our sense of wholeness with ourselves and the world we live in. In Brené Brown's book, The Gifts of Imperfection, that I've been reading, and I must say it was a challenge to really take this information on. It was an eye-opener. And on a very personal level, it was hard work. In particular, the part where she describes how we human beings disconnect from ourselves and each other. She says that many of us living in North America know too much. We have too much information about everything, but we don't share with each other what's really important. Our communication devices are actually getting in the way of connecting with each other. We're dancing as fast as we can and enjoying less and less. But more than this, we're keeping ourselves from deepening in connection with each other because we fear showing imperfect selves to those that we care about. We fear feeling vulnerable with each other, because we are ashamed of these imperfections. Shame is one of the big disconnectors. Many of us are ashamed of not being good enough. I've heard that forever and ever. Or not thin enough, or talented enough, or strong enough, or active enough, or committed enough for Unitarians. Not be enough of some unreal, insupportable ideal of perfection. Now, I'm going to use the pronoun we, because I don't think I'm the only one who at some level is driven by a need to be more. We push ourselves, and God bless you if you don't. We push ourselves to do more. We push ourselves to be more. Oh, and we've got lots of great reasons for doing it. Lots of justification to press on and do one more thing. Stay up another 10 minutes, watch one more show, write one more letter, send one more email. Especially Unitarians who are so committed to making this world a better place. There is so much to do, and it's all important. Those that don't know, Brené Brown is a research professor at the University of Houston who's focused her research on the human experiences of courage, worthiness, and shame. In the process of gathering her data, she, of course, has heard many stories of amazing men and women living life true to themselves and open-hearted, connected. She decided one day to make a list of the attributes of those people who she termed wholehearted and those who she decided that were not. And she put them up on her kitchen wall, these two lists. She called one do and one don't. On the do list, she had rest, play, trust, faith, intuition, hope, authenticity, love, belonging, joy, gratitude, and creativity. On the don't list, she had perfection, numbing, certainty, exhaustion, self-sufficiency, being cool, fitting in, judgment, and scarcity. So then she sat back in her kitchen, and up to that moment, she'd been a researcher, been just dealing with the stories as they were told. But in that moment, in her own kitchen, she got personal with it. And she looked at these two lists and had the shock of her life. It was an awful, wonderful moment for her. She saw herself, she thought she was going to see herself in the do list. She saw herself in the don't list. She thought she was one of these wholehearted people that had it all together. But she wasn't. In fact, she was not living that way at all. So she began to investigate for herself on a very personal level what got in the way and prevented her and so many people like her who wanted to live a wholehearted and connected life, what got in their way. So she says, we keep pushing ourselves because we don't think we're perfect, because we haven't got it together, we're not enough. And that if we ever really did stop all this doing, really let ourselves just be, we would come face to face with that inner judgment, that shame, nasty stuff, shame, that we're not enough. And I can tell you this is true for me. It may not be true for you, but it was true for me. I've been working in the area of communication and self-expression for a long, long time. And yet, that shame creeps into my world and into my body, and it's yucky. I cringe from it. You know, even in telling you this right now, it seems like this hugely dangerous outing of myself, putting out my dirty knickers. You know, like, my body's doing this right now. I'm getting the zips up and down my spine. But I have to believe that I'm not the only one. That there are a whole lot of people like me who are ashamed of their own shame or their guilt or the lies they tell themselves because it's a huge risk to talk about it, just to talk about it, to name it, to share it with other people. And she says you have to start doing that. You have to pick someone that you trust. Please don't just pick anybody, you know. Pick someone who is worthy of your trust and begin with them. Or if you don't have anyone that you can feel you can trust or that has earned your trust, talk to your pet. They are the greatest listeners. Or talk to a tree, or to the sky, or to your God. So I'm a Unitarian, I'm smart, I'm articulate, I'm loving, I'm committed to making this world a better place, and I'm an imperfectionist. This is my confession to you. So in other words, we're all out of sorts, out of alignment with ourselves at some level and not all the time, Okay, it's not completely one thing or another. It's like yin-yang. It's a little bit of both. So when we are in that place of feeling our disconnection, imperfect, blemished, shattered, guilty, ashamed, we need to return to our original state, our source. We need tveshva. Excuse all the Jewish people in the group. Tveshva. Tveshva is the name for repentance. And according to Rabbi Nissan Dugov, director of the Chabad Lubavitch organization in Wimbledon, UK, Tveshva means return. Return to the original state, or return to the root sense of your soul. Now, if I'm a Catholic, I'm going to confess my sins. If I'm an atheist, I'd admit that I sometimes am inauthentic and judge those I love. If I was Jewish, I would practice Tveshva. It has a three-part process to it. Regret for the action and a desire to change, a verbal expression of it, of the sin, and an act of repentance or charity to put good energy back into the world. Tveshva. And therefore, in the Jewish sense of it, you are realigning your relationship with God. In the Jewish tradition, there's a specific time for Tveshva. It's a 10-day period falling between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. But the process of Tveshva, of returning, is also continuous because we are falling out of connectedness every day, many times in the day. And although we have many names, the process to reconnect when one is out of sync with oneself in the world is similar in many religions and philosophies, from Judaism to AA. We need to return. Return again. It's a basic human need to be in integrity with ourselves, our friends, our community, and the world. So here's my Unitarian take on confession, also in three parts. Name it. Say it out loud. Say the thought or action that has disconnected you. Name it and speak it to someone whom you trust. Breathe. Naming that shame, that guilt, the anger, the judgment, and shining a light on it, which that thing that we would rather keep in the silence and in the shadows, is necessary. And you know what happens when you shine a light under the bed, the monsters disappear. Two, ask forgiveness. This is where a little compassion for yourself is needed. It's not about letting yourself off the hook. If you've been self-critical and being nasty to yourself, own it. If you have said or done something that violates the integrity and respect of someone else, go to them, tell them you are disconnected from them, apologize and ask for forgiveness. And whether you're speaking to yourself or another person, you must risk the pain, that vulnerable, scary moment of opening yourself. This might actually be harder when you are asking yourself for forgiveness than when you're asking somebody else. And unless you're truly sorry, you won't feel that return. Number three, make amends, also known as atonement or charity. The third step where you make up for the action or thought that disconnected you. Part of Tveshva is to give back good energy into the system through charity, through giving of yourself. Give yourself time to rest. Give yourself time to play, time to pray. Encourage thought and behavior that reconnects you to yourself and to others. I find it comforting to know that I am not that different from millions of people throughout all history who have fallen out of connection with themselves and their world and have needed a process to return to ourselves, our original state. Atonement. It's a nice play on words there. If you divide it up into syllables, you come up with at-one-ment. Atonement is returning to that wholeness, that oneness. We need to consciously and deliberately find our way back to the garden, as Joni Mitchell says. Find our way back to our own source. Whether you name that the self, or God, or the Tao, or the Buddha nature, I can't tell you how vitally important it is for all of us. How wonderful that we can share our imperfections. How beautiful are our vulnerable, fragile, tender humanness. So be it. And amen.